Local leaders, top stories, the news that matters most to you. The News Drive at 5 with host Patrick Reynolds starts now.
Welcome to the News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk for Monday, March the 11th, 2024, 5:06 p.m. in the afternoon. Thanks to all of you for tuning in to WSIC Radio News Talk. You just heard Local Biz Now with Joe Vagnone, a great small business, local business source of information every Monday afternoon here, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on WSIC, the family of networks. Because if it's Monday afternoon, your business matters. Joe Vagnone, the host of LBN, and number one talk business show in all of North Carolina, or at least in all the villes, from Statesville to Huntersville. He's got your Lake Norman small business and local community served. Here in the News Drive at 5, the top 5 at 5 stories we are working for you and tracking this afternoon. Iredell County Sheriff's Office is investigating a double homicide in Mooresville. 18 is charged in a North Charlotte shooting. North Carolina launches statewide sports gambling today. Fort Dobbs is featuring a brand new trade exhibit. And your calls, 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. Get you live on air here in our brand new studio in the Statesville, well, the old building, brand new studio here. We're debuting here, if you're watching on the socials. Monday afternoon, Facebook, X, YouTube, LinkedIn, all the socials, including the WSIC News website. We have your calls, and if you're watching on the video feed, you can see a little bit of the brand new studio that we got putting together here. We got paint cans and all kinds of nail guns and wires hanging out, looking good here on camera, and it will be a great new studio to serve all of you, our WSIC News Talk family. 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. Our top story tonight comes out of Mooresville from over the weekend. Two people were killed and a third person critically injured Saturday night in a home near Mooresville. Iredell County Sheriff's Office deputies were searching for three suspects who were wearing masks and reportedly traveling in a white SUV. The Iredell County Sheriff's Office deputies were dispatched to a resident off Home Drive in reference to a possible shooting around 6 p.m. Saturday. After arriving on the scene, deputies observed someone who appeared to be unresponsive inside the home. The deputies entered the home and discovered that person and another individual were deceased. A third victim, who was found on the back porch, was seriously injured. Now, the man suspected of murdering those two people in Mooresville on Saturday was shot and killed by Iredell County Sheriff's Office deputies after a standoff at his home early Sunday morning. Three deputies opened fire, fatally wounding Justin Strasser about 5:49 a.m. as he was exiting his home and shooting at deputies. This was according to Sheriff Darren Campbell. Four juveniles were fleeing the home at 1580 Oswald Amity Road in Cleveland when Strasser started shooting. Sheriff Darren Campbell said, when he came out shooting, deputies fired and killed him, end quote. During the eight-hour standoff, Strasser had fired dozens of rounds from an AR-15 in the direction of deputies, striking several vehicles. The suspect was wearing a bulletproof vest when he was killed. The North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation is investigating the officer-involved shooting at the request of Sheriff Campbell. Three deputies have been placed on administrative leave pending the outcome of the investigation, which is standard procedure. The early morning shooting ended a standoff that began about 9:38 p.m. on Saturday after deputies located a vehicle believed to have been involved in the double homicide near Mooresville. About 6:30 p.m. Saturday, deputies were dispatched to Home Drive for a report of shots being fired. When deputies arrived at the residence, they found that adult male suffering from a gunshot wound on the back porch. He was transported to Lake Norman Regional Medical Center by Iredell County EMS personnel. After entering the home, deputies found two men who had been fatally wounded. All three shooting victims had been bound. The Iredell County Sheriff's Office identified the deceased individuals as Eduardo Cordova of Mooresville and Caleb Lopar of Lincolnton. Cable said the shooting in southern Iredell County was not a random crime. Strasser and the victims knew each other. Narcotics and robbery were a possible motive. Over the ensuing hours, deputies attempted to get the suspect to surrender. After deputies located a white SUV tied to the shooting at Strasser's home, the residence was surrounded and the sheriff's emergency response team was called to the team. They made statements with negotiators about the involvement in the home drive shootings. After the negotiations failed, gas was introduced to the house by deputies. The juveniles then fled the home. When deputies arrived at the residence, they found an adult male suffering from a gunshot wound on the back porch. He was transported to Lake Norman Regional Medical Center by Iredell County EMS personnel. Strasser began shooting, prompting deputies to fire. Strasser had several pending criminal charges, including felony possession of a weapon of mass destruction, felony breaking and entering, and felony assault by strangulation. In Charlotte, a 16-year-old accused of shooting and killing another teenager last month is facing murder and armed robbery charges, according to the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department. Authorities said Malika Corbett, 17, was found suffering from gunshot wounds, and he was pronounced dead at the scene. An initial investigation identified a 16-year-old unnamed juvenile as the suspect. Officers contacted the teen this past Saturday and, following an interview, arrested him and charged him with murder and robbery with a dangerous weapon. Charlotte Fire, Medic, Victim Services, Operations Command, and CSI were among the departments that responded to the scene. Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department Detective Burr is the lead in that case. Also in Charlotte, a search is underway for a missing Charlotte mother and her two young children. Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department police report states the mother and her two children have been missing since March the 3rd. CMPD said Johnson hasn't contacted any known family members and they're concerned for her welfare. They said in a statement, quote, "It is unknown at this time what the mother and her children were last seen wearing. The vehicle, a 2011 Chevrolet Camaro, is listed in the police report as related property. Anyone with information on the whereabouts is urged to call 911 immediately." In Charlotte, mobile and online sports wagering across North Carolina took off on Monday as several licensed gambling operators started taking bets 9 months after legislation to authorize such activity statewide became law. Some of the interactive sports wagering operations, which included big names in the growing field of legalized gambling and their affiliates, held special events to highlight the new gambling options in the nation's ninth largest state. North Carolina is now the 30th state, along with the District of Columbia, to offer mobile sports betting. DraftKings Chief Commercial Officer Jeremy Elbaum said, quote, "North Carolina is a state that we've been really dying to get into for a couple of years now." A public event at the NASCAR Hall of Fame, retired Carolina Panthers Greg Olson placed the ceremonial first bet. The way the sports calendar works in North Carolina, the love for college, the love for NASCAR, specifically, and obviously other major sports, this is a key state for online sports betting. North Carolina State Lottery Commission directed in the 2023 law authorizing the games to license operators and set rules. News Drive at 5 continues.
We'll be back with more of the News Drive at 5 with Patrick Reynolds in just a moment on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Call 844-STUDIO-4 now to join in the conversation on the News Drive at 5 with Patrick Reynolds on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to the News Drive at 5 here in WSIC News Talk. Patrick Reynolds taking you home on this March 11th, 2024, 5:18 p.m. on the East Coast. I want to thank all of you for tuning in to WSIC News Talk Radio, your trusted source for local information. Around Lake Norman, North Charlotte, and even the West Coast, Iredell County Statesville, and I mean the west coast of Lake Norman, obviously. But thank you all for tuning in. This is the News Drive at 5, and our headlines roll on to continue on with legalized sports betting, with debut today here in North Carolina. Governor Roy Cooper, who signed the sports betting bill approved by the General Assembly into law, and he is an ardent fan of the NHL Carolina Hurricanes, said he placed a bet on the team to win the Stanley Cup later this year. He said any monetary winnings would go to the team's charitable foundation. Now, the commission announced the 8 initial licensees on February 29th, the story that we have covered here on the News Drive at 5. The day after, these operators began setting up accounts for players age 21 and over and receiving monetary deposits. That's prompted an array of television and social media advertising by gambling operators trying to attract customers with financial incentives. A late adjustment to the 2023 law said that most interactive wagering company applicants had to enter an agreement with an in-state professional team or certain pro golf or automobile racing venues or governing bodies to obtain a license. For example, DraftKings has an arrangement with NASCAR, while Fanatics Sportsbook is associated with the Hurricanes. Provisions in the law for the commission to regulate betting on horse races and to set rules for live horse racing also will be implemented in the future. The legislation will tax sports wagering at a rate equal to 18% of gross betting revenue minus distributed winnings. The revenues could exceed $100 million annually within 5 years, according to a legislative branch analysis. The government's share will go in part to athletic departments at 13 University of North Carolina school systems, amateur and youth sporting events, and gambling addiction education and treatment programs. Some licensees have talked up their responsible gaming feature on their betting apps. With all that said, as far as online legal gambling here in North Carolina, the legislation passed by the North Carolina General Assembly and signed by Governor Roy Cooper legalized sports betting in the Tar Heel State effective today. If you think scammers haven't noticed, they certainly have. The Better Business Bureau advises that you check before downloading a sports betting app or placing a bet before any kind of big game. Here is how scams work. You want to place a bet on an upcoming game, so you search online for a sports betting service. You find a website or app that looks trustworthy. It may even offer an enticing introductory bonus, so you can make an initial bet risk-free. And I use air quotes on that, risk-free. You place a bet, and at first, everything seems normal, but as soon as you try to cash out your winnings, you find you can't withdraw a cent. Scammers will make up various excuses. For example, they may claim technical issues or insist on additional identity verification. In other cases, they may require you to deposit even more money before you can withdraw your winnings. Whatever you do, you'll never be able to get your money off the site, and any personal information you share is now in the hands of scam artists. One victim reported to the Better Business Bureau scam tracker, quote, "I deposited money to put a wager for a sports game. I won the bet and attempted three times to cash out, and three times I was declined. I spoke to the representative and they needed a picture of my driver's license, a photo of myself holding my ID, and a blank check from my bank. With all the runaround I've been given, it prompted me to read the reviews, all horrible reviews of a scam. I called my credit card company to file a report," end quote. Now, how do you avoid sports betting scams? Well, the Better Business Bureau offers some tips. First of all, look for an established and approved service. You look for whitelisted sports books that have been approved by your area's gaming commission. In the United States, ESPN has a list of where sports betting is legal. Don't fall for tempting ads. You can ignore gambling-related pop-up ads, email spam, and text messages. Please read the fine print on incentives. Gambling sites and apps often offer incentives or bonuses to new users and around major games. But like any sales pitch, these can be deceptive. Be sure to read the fine print carefully. And even legitimate sports betting sites have the right to freeze your winnings. I'll say that one again. Even legitimate sports betting sites have the right to freeze your winnings. Gambling companies can restrict users' activity for seeming to have an unfair advantage or irregular playing patterns. This is a report from Lifehacker, so be sure to check the terms of service on any betting app. More news out of Raleigh, not as far as sports betting goes, but the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services has partnered with Chess Health and Trillium Health Resources to provide critically needed support for North Carolinians working toward recovery from substance abuse disorders. Through this partnership, North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services will make available Chess Health's proven e-recovery program to help thousands of North Carolinians struggling with substance use disorders to achieve long-term recovery. Kelly Crosby, Director of the Division of Mental Health, Development, Disabilities, and Substance Use Services, said, quote, "We know there is no one-size-fits-all to recovery. We are pleased to provide North Carolinians with an additional evidence-based tool to support their recovery when and where they need them," end quote. This smartphone application is not a substitute for clinical treatment, but rather an additional tool that can help people connect with other peers and receive additional recovery supports. The Chess Health e-Recovery Program will be introduced in phases to more than 100 organizations across North Carolina over the next 2 years. Organizations offering this solution will include substance use disorders and mental health providers, hospital-based substance use disorders programs, collegiate recovery programs, harm reduction programs, crisis hotlines, mobile response teams, drug courts, re-entry programs, recovery residences, certified community behavioral health clinics, and local management entities. Hans Moorfield, CEO of Chess Health, said, quote, "Our solution offers individuals a continuous connectedness that has been shown to reduce feelings of isolation while providing a comfortable space for sharing feelings and celebrating milestones and achievements. Our Connections app helps individuals to manage risk moments, triggers, cravings, anxiety, and negative thinking that occurs between visits so they stay in treatment longer and realize a better long-term quality of life," end quote. If you or someone you know is struggling or in crisis right now, help is available. Both the Peer Warm Line and 988 are available to anyone, anytime. More news out of Raleigh. North Carolina's seasonally adjusted January 2024 unemployment rate was 3.5%, decreasing 1/10 of a percentage point from December's revised rate. The national rate remained unchanged at 3.7%. North Carolina's unemployment rate was unchanged from a year ago. The number of people employed increased over 6,700 over the month to over 5 million and increased 64,000 plus over the year. The number of people unemployed decreased by over 1,600 over the month to 185,000 and it increased to almost 2,500 over the year. Closer to home, the Iredell-Statesville Schools Board of Education on Monday, tonight, will consider a proposal to increase the cost of the district's after-school program. If approved by the board, the cost of prime time could increase by 4.36% to $286 per month, starting with the 24-25 school year. The proposal calls for price increases in each of the next 5 years. ISF Chief Finance Officer Adam Steele explained during the Committee of the Whole meeting that the increases are needed to sustain the program. In 2021, the minimum hourly wage for state employees was increased to $15 per hour, Steele said. At that time, primetime group leaders were earning $11 an hour, and site coordinators were making a minimum of $13 an hour. The district was required to increase their pay, which increased the operational costs of the program. During that time, Primetime was awarded a stabilization grant that totaled $3.2 million over the course of 2 years. One area the grant covered, he said, was the increase in salary costs. Iredell-Statesville Schools is proposing to increase tuition by, in 24-25, to $286 a month, 25-26 to $297 a month. School year 26-27 to $308 a month. The 27-28 school year is looking at $319 a month. And 2028 to 2029 school year, $330 per month. The same percentage rates increases would apply to part-time users of the program, which is currently $180 per month. In addition, the district plans to increase summer camp rates from $150 per week to $160 per week beginning in the summer of 2025. Finally, the cost of attending prime time on teacher work days would increase from $25 per day to $30 per day. Also tonight, the board will vote on updating the camera system on 120 school buses at a cost of $417,000. The district was awarded a $400,000 grant, and the remaining $17,000 will come from a capital funds budget. The News Drive at 5 rolls on here at WSIC News Talk. Patrick Reynolds will be back with you.
Stick around for more of the News Drive at 5, coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Call in now to speak with Patrick Reynolds on the News Drive at 5. The number to dial is 844-STUDIO-4. WSIC. Local starts here.
Welcome back to the News Drive at 5. Patrick Reynolds taking you home here on WSIC News Talk for this March 11th, 2024. 5:35 p.m. Eastern Time here on the East Coast. Thanks so much for tuning in, keeping you informed around Lake Norman, Iredell County, North Charlotte, and the West Coast of Lake Norman. Finish up this story before the break. Iredell Statesville School Board of Education meeting this evening. Also, the board will be voting on, in addition to tonight, approving end of grade and end of year retakes for school year 2023 and 2024 after the last day of school. The higher test score will count in the school's proficiency grade. Also, they'll be voting on the 24-25 fiscal year local budget request to the county commissioners for $62.1 million to cover 21.5 teacher positions and 21 nurse positions that will be moved back to the local budget. In Statesville, the city is accepting applications for the 2024 Public Safety Academy. This is the first time the Statesville Police Department and Statesville Fire Department have joined forces to offer this comprehensive program, which builds upon the success of the previous Police Academy. The inaugural academy is limited to 25 participants. Organizers encourage those who are interested in participating to turn their applications in early. Police-related topics include quite a pretty healthy list: administration, patrol, recruiting and training, communications, crime analysis and mapping, community services, school resource officers, traffic, criminal investigations, evidence, violent crimes, the special response team, canine, the crime reduction team, drone and camera technology. Fire-related topics include, also a strong list, administration, operations and training, code enforcement, fire investigations, fire education and life safety, CPR, AED, hands-on training and information, live fire and extinguisher training, hazmat operations, drone operations, fire rescue, which includes ropes, extrication, and confined spaces, ladder operations, airport rescue, firefighting, other specialized fire response demonstrations as well. So two healthy class lists there. Applicants must meet specific criteria to be eligible for the academy, including being 18 years of age prior to the first meeting, agreeing to sign a waiver, residing in Iredell County with preference given to residents of Statesville, and undergoing a criminal history background check. The inaugural program promises to provide invaluable insights into the vital work of the Statesville Police Department and Statesville Fire Department, while also opening doors for participants to explore potential career paths. Applications can be obtained from the City of Statesville website, which is statesvillenc.net, or by contacting the police department or fire department. Applications must be received by April 5th for consideration. In Mooresville, Selma Hortense Burke, a renowned African-American artist whose talent transcended boundaries, is the focus of a groundbreaking new book that sheds light on her extraordinary life and career. Written by L. Melissa Smith and titled Graven Images, an in-depth chronicle of the life of prolific artist Selma Hortense Burke, offers a compelling narrative that delves into Burke's journey, revealing previously undisclosed aspects of her personal and professional life. A native of Mooresville, Burke defied societal norms and racial barriers to become a prolific artist of her time. While her artistic contributions are widely recognized, this new book unveils intriguing details about her personal life, including her marriages and divorces, which have remained largely unknown until now. Burke's belief that her portrait of President Franklin D. Roosevelt was plagiarized to create the iconic Roosevelt dime is a central theme explored in the book. Despite her relentless pursuit of recognition for her work, she faced numerous challenges, including the alleged appropriation of her art by U.S. Mint Chief Engraver John Sinnock. Smith, a journalist and librarian, was a student of Geneva Burke Miller, a sister of Selma Burke. Smith's curiosity about Mooresville's most famous citizen led her to delve into the life of Burke, resulting in this groundbreaking book. One of the most astonishing revelations in Graven Images is the discovery of Burke's previously undisclosed marriage to a man who remained unnamed until now. And contrary to her claim of widowhood in 1955, a dead husband was found to be alive until 1966, residing in another country with a new wife. The book also addresses longstanding speculation regarding Burke's marriage to Harlem Renaissance pioneer Claude McKay in 1935. These revelations add a new layer of complexity to Burke's personal history and the intricacies of her relationships. Graven Images offers a comprehensive exploration of the life of Selma Hortense Burke, presenting a nuanced portrait of an artist who defies conventions and left an indelible mark on the art world. Graven Images provides readers with a deeper understanding of Burke's legacy and her enduring contributions to American art history. In Statesville, high school students who are interested in a career in nursing do not have to wait until graduating to begin their education and clinical training. Last week, students in the nursing fundamentals class received training on how to check blood pressure and got plenty of practice by checking their classmates. Statesville High School nursing students have a 100% pass rate on the state exam. The curriculum is designed to motivate students with real-life experience and hands-on learning as it prepares them to pursue a career as a healthcare professional. There is no cost for students to participate in Statesville High School's nursing program. The Career Technical Education Program pays for the course, written examination, and the skills examination. The program has helped some students begin preparing for their dream job. Student Nyla Jones said, quote, "I've always wanted to go into the medical field, and I would like to be a travel nurse or a sonography technician." Jones said that she first learned about travel nursing by watching Grey's Anatomy on TV and also through social media. She said, quote, "Once I started looking into it and researching travel nursing, I liked the idea and thought it would be fun," end quote. "The program is challenging," Jones said, "but is it worth it?" She says, quote, "I'm really happy to be in the nursing program. I feel like it gives me a step up of everybody." Student Emily McIntosh hopes the CNA program is the first step towards becoming a neonatal intensive care unit nurse. McIntosh said, quote, "I like children, and I've always wanted to help people. My sister is going down the same path," end quote. For Kamaya Cowan, watching her grandmother undergo dialysis and then a kidney transplant sparked a passion to work with elderly. She wants to work at Iredell Memorial Hospital. Statesville High School nursing students have learned that there will always be job opportunities. Their teachers hope to inspire them to continue their education or even become nursing educators in their career. According to Cranford, students will start clinicals on March the 18th. The students are excited and said it will allow the students to work on practical nursing skills in various healthcare settings, such as a nursing home or hospital, all under supervision. Cranford works as a bedside nurse prior to beginning as a teacher this year. Also in Statesville, the Fort Dobbs State Historic Site is now featuring an exhibit that highlights trade between colonies and American Indians in the Carolina backcountry in the 1750s. The exhibit includes a mix of authentic relics and replica items and calls particular attention to occasions when American Indian visited the fort, both as friends and as enemies. The centerpiece of the exhibit is a rare example of a brass trade ring. Kevin Anderson loaned the ring to the historic site, having recovered it with permission on an adjoining piece of property. The ring is a style consistent with European-produced rings that were traded to American Indians. I'm Patrick Reynolds. The News Drive at 5 continues here on WSIC. We'll be back.
More of the News Drive at 5 after we pay the bills on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now, back to more of the News Drive at 5 with your host, Patrick Reynolds, on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to the News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk. I am Patrick Reynolds. Great to hear everybody along for the ride here on March 11th, 2024, 5:48 p.m. Eastern Time. Patrick Reynolds on your drive home. Thank you all for tuning in. Recapping our top story tonight out of Mooresville. Two people were killed and a third person critically injured Saturday night at a home near Mooresville town limits. Iredell County Sheriff's Office deputies were searching for three suspects who were wearing masks and reportedly traveling in a white SUV. Iredell County Sheriff's Office deputies were dispatched to a residence off Home Drive in reference to a possible shooting around 6 p.m. After arriving on the scene, deputies observed someone who appeared to be unresponsive inside the home. The deputies entered the home and discovered that person and another individual were deceased. A third victim, who was found on the back porch, was seriously injured. And the man suspected of murdering those two people in Mooresville on Saturday night was shot and killed by Iredell County Sheriff's Office deputies after a standoff at his home early Sunday morning. Three deputies opened fire, fatally wounding Justin Strasser about 5:49 a.m. as he was exiting his home and shooting at deputies, Sheriff Darren Campbell said. Four juveniles were fleeing the home at 1580 Oswald Amity Road in Cleveland when Strasser started shooting. Sheriff Darren Campbell said, quote, "When he came out shooting, deputies fired and killed him," end quote. During the eight-hour standoff, Strasser had fired dozens of rounds from an AR-15 in the direction of deputies, striking several vehicles. The suspect was wearing a bulletproof vest when he was killed. The North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation is investigating the officer involved in the shooting at the request of Sheriff Campbell. Three deputies have been placed on administrative leave pending the outcome of the investigation, which is standard procedure. The early morning shooting ended a standoff that began around 9:38 p.m. on Saturday after deputies located a vehicle believed to have been involved in the double homicide near Mooresville. About 6:30 p.m. Saturday, deputies were dispatched to Home Drive for a report of shots being fired. When deputies arrived at the residence, they found that adult male suffering from a gunshot wound on the back porch. He was transported to Lake Norman Regional Medical Center by Iredell County EMS personnel. After entering the home, deputies found two men who had been fatally wounded. All three shooting victims had been bound. The Iredell County Sheriff's Office identified the deceased individuals as Eduardo Cordova of Mooresville and Caleb Loper of Lincolnton. Campbell said the shooting in southern Iredell County was not a random crime. Strasser and the victims knew each other. Narcotics and robbery are possible motives. After deputies located the white SUV tied to the shooting at Strasser's home, the residence was surrounded and the sheriff's emergency response team was called to the scene. Over the ensuing hours, deputies attempt to get the suspect to surrender. He made statements to negotiators about his involvement on the home drive shootings. After negotiations failed, gas was introduced to the home by deputies. The juveniles then fled the home. Strasser began shooting, prompting deputies to return fire. Strasser had been pending criminal charges, including felony possession of a weapon of mass destruction, felony breaking and entering, and felony assault by strangulation. In Charlotte, a 16-year-old accused of shooting and killing another teenager last month is facing murder and armed robbery charges, according to the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department. Authorities said Malik Corbett, age 17, was found suffering from gunshot wounds, and he was pronounced dead at the scene. An initial investigation identified a 16-year-old unnamed juvenile as the suspect. Officers contacted the teen this past Saturday, and following an interview, arrested him and charged him with murder and robbery with a dangerous weapon. Charlotte Fire, Medic, Victim Services, Operations Command, and CSI were among the departments that responded to the scene. Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department Detective Burr is the lead in the case. Also in Charlotte, a search is underway for a missing Charlotte mother and her two children. Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department report says the mother and her two children have been missing since March the 3rd. The police department also said that mom hasn't contacted any known family members, and they're concerned for her welfare. Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department said it is unknown at this time what the mother and her children were last seen wearing, end quote. A vehicle, a 2011 Chevrolet Camaro, is listed in the police report as related property. Anyone with information on their whereabouts is urged to call 911 immediately. Also in Charlotte, mobile and online sports wagering across North Carolina took off on Monday as several licensed gambling operators started taking bets 9 months after legislation to authorize such activity statewide became law. Some of the interactive sports wagering operators, which included big names in the growing field of legalized gambling, and their affiliates held special events to highlight the new gambling options in the nation's ninth largest state. North Carolina is now the 30th state, along with the District of Columbia, to offer mobile sports betting. DraftKings Chief Commercial Officer Jeremy Elbaum said, "North Carolina is a state we've been really dying to get into for a couple of years now. A public event in the NASCAR Hall of Fame in Charlotte, where retired Carolina Panthers player Greg Olson played a ceremonial first online bet as they held their ceremony earlier today." Elbaum continued, quote, "The way the sports calendar works here, the love for college, the love for NASCAR specifically, and obviously the other major sports has made this a key state for us," end quote. The North Carolina State Lottery Commission, directed in the June 2023 law, are authorizing the games to license operators and set rules. It was announced several weeks ago that wagering on mobile devices and computers would begin earlier today at noon. The start date today, which is on the eve of the popular Atlantic Coast Conference men's basketball tournament, was not lost on sports enthusiasts. Governor Roy Cooper, who signed the sports betting bill approved by the General Assembly into law, and an ardent fan of the National Hockey League's Carolina Hurricanes, said he placed a bet on the team to win the Stanley Cup later this year. He said any monetary winnings would go to the team's charitable foundation. The commission announced the 8 initial licenses on February 29th. The day after, these operators began setting up accounts for players age 21 and over and receiving monetary deposits. That's prompted an array of television and social media advertising by gambling operators trying to attract customers with financial incentives. A late adjustment to the 2023 law said the most interactive wagering company applicants had to enter an agreement with an in-state professional team or certain pro golf or automobile racing venue or governing bodies to obtain a license. For example, DraftKings has an agreement with NASCAR, while Fanatic Sportsbook is associated with the Hurricane. Provisions in the law for the commission to regulate betting on horse races and set rules for live horse racing will also be implemented in the future. Legislation will tax sports wagering at a rate equal to 18% of gross betting revenue minus distributed winnings. The revenues could exceed $100 million annually within 5 years, according to a legislative branch analysis. The government share will go in part to athletic departments at 13 University of North Carolina school systems, amateur and youth sporting events, and gambling addiction education and treatment programs. Some licensees have talked up the responsible gaming feature on their betting apps. With all that being said, with the new legislation passed into action today, scammers have also noticed. The Better Business Bureau advises that you check before downloading a sports betting app or placing a bet before the big game. You want to place a bet on an upcoming game, so you search online for the sports betting service. You'll find a website or app that looks trustworthy, but it may even offer an enticing introductory bonus so you can make an initial bet free of risk. Once you place a bet, at first everything seems normal, but as soon as you try to cash in the winnings, you find out you cannot withdraw a cent. The scammers will make up various excuses. For example, they may claim technical issues or insist on additional identity verification. In other cases, they may require you to deposit even more money before you can withdraw your winnings. Whatever you do, you will not be able to get your money out of these scam sites, and any personal information you shared is now in the hands of the scam artist. One victim reported to the Better Business Bureau scam tracker, quote, "I deposited money to put a wager for a sports game. I won the bet and attempted three times to cash out, and three times I was declined. I spoke to the representative, and they needed a picture of my driver's license, a photo of myself holding my ID, and a blank check from my bank. With all the runaround I've been given, it prompted me to read their reviews, all horrible reviews of a scam. I called my credit card company to file a fraud report," end quote. The Better Business Bureau offers these tips. Look for an established, approved betting service. Don't fall for tempting ads. Read the fine print on incentives. And even legitimate sports betting sites do have the right to freeze your winnings. But today is the first day of online sports betting and gambling legal here in North Carolina. The Scoreboard with Joe Berg is coming up at the top of the hour. This has been the News Drive at 5. I am Patrick Reynolds. I'll see you tomorrow on WSIC News Talk.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Morrisville, North Charlotte.